Hi everyone, Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Hey everybody, Russ here from RST Coaching Academy and Money Talks. I want to welcome you to another episode of Money Talks from Daytona Beach. It's a lovely day here. Too hot for me, but air conditioning is really great. And I'm pleased to welcome my friend Attila Kiss into the room today to drill him with questions so he can talk about himself and his business background and experience and hopefully offer some good solid advice to you, our listeners, to enhance your life, to enhance your business, to enhance everything about you. So Attila, welcome. Appreciate you taking the time to come on with me today, and we'll take it away from here, okay?
Yeah, thank you, Russ. Thank you for having me.
All right, great. Attila, by the way, is originally from Hungary. He might get into that a little bit later. Been here for many, many years and loves America because he knows how good it is, how great it is. So Attila, let me get going here by just asking you for an introduction to Attila Kiss by Attila Kiss. Tell us your story, where you've come from, what you've done, how you've ended up, where you're at now, what you're doing, and so on. Attila, by the way, is also a 10X certified business coach, but I think he's probably got some more things going on, maybe even besides that. We're probably going to dig into that a little bit. So anyway, Attila, take it away. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Russ. So I'm from Hungary. I was born and raised in Hungary. I moved to the United States in 97 when I was 27, but I had a kind of a history in Hungary before that. I was trying to find my place even then. I didn't know back then. I was just, especially in the high school, I was kind of like a rebellious kid. I was kicked out of two high schools. I finished in the third one. So, and at that time, I really didn't understand. There was a lot of things going on in my life at that point. But anyway, once I finished high school, I went to college. I learned computer programming. I became a software engineer, right? So once I finished college, I went to work for a company. It's a pharmaceutical company in Hungary. And I quickly find out that this 8-to-5 is not for me. I just couldn't stand it. So then now it's looking back, I kind of understand more that I'm that type of, like what here, you know, a lot of time people refer to the entrepreneurial type.
Uh-huh.
And the type that doesn't fit the mold, you know, like entrepreneurs do things differently, think differently than just, you know, like average people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying average people in a bad way, but I'm just saying that there's a social norm, how you should think and do things. And entrepreneurs, in many cases, you know, break that mold. So that was my background and in Hungary. And also that led to me to come here. You know, I did a few ventures in Hungary, but eventually, let's say, we thought that, you know, Hungary is a small country. America is a land of opportunity. Let's go. So I was very adventurous because actually when I came here, I did not speak English.
Oh, wow.
So we just, you know, in about a month, I closed out everything in Hungary. We gathered our little money and then hop on a plane and let's go.
Man. So
that was my start. That's how I started here in the United States. I had no contacts. You know, I didn't know anybody. I didn't speak English. And you know, you have to get your life going. But there's a great lesson in that for me and looking back, because I kind of forgot my ways, but I'll talk about it a little bit later. But when I reminded myself that, you know, I have such a great amount of creativity in me, and it's probably true for every entrepreneur, that at least the ones that I met, It's just sometimes it's clouded by other, you know, circumstances, your upbringing, your friends, your environment, the social, you know, expectations, and it puts you know, it changes your, it's kind of like put out your fire, you know, like you had your fire, you were young, you wanted to conquer the world, and then eventually it's like you just, the fire gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and eventually it's just gone, right?
Yeah.
So I had to reignite that fire at one point, but at that point, I still had the fire burning, right?
Good, good, good.
I found jobs. Even I didn't speak English, right? I found an apartment. I was able to open bank accounts. Like, I don't know how, honestly, if you ask me right now to repeat that, I would say, no, I don't want to do that. But at the time, you know, we went through that, it worked. And even then, I found a job until I learned English enough that I can start working in my own field. You know, as a software engineer, you have to understand the requirements and things. So it's not like, you know, but I had a few odd jobs before, like, you know, delivering flowers and working in a bar as a barback and a short order cook and things like that, just to, you know, get by.
Uh-huh.
But eventually when my English is improved enough, I started working on my own field as a software engineer. And worked for a couple of companies, but again, I knew that already at that point that that's not for me. But
you did that as an employee rather than an independent contractor?
First, I started as an employee because I just needed to build up some security, you know, get some stability in my life in a sense at that point.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But even then, I knew that this is not going to be long term. I just have to get through this phase.
Mm-hmm.
And once I reached a certain point, I actually quit and I become an independent contractor.
Okay.
And I was working as an independent contractor for a while until 2007 and 8, you know, when the big crash and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly projects ended.
It's
like, we have to tighten budget and, you know, this, we're shutting down these projects. So that was a big... that was that point where I guess I lost the fire, the burning fire, and kind of like collapsed in a sense. I lost everything at that point, like, you know, all of my savings, car repossessed. We don't have anything at that
point. It was a mess, right?
Yep. It's like totally. But I didn't give up, you know, that was one thing. I was always very optimistic and very cheerful, even in situations when you know, worst possible case, like you lost everything. I actually found a previous client of mine when I was working as an independent contractor and as a software engineer. I did a couple of projects for this guy, and he contacted me actually that, hey, you know, I just closed down my previous business, but you and I were working together on that project, and I think that would be something that other business could use. I said, okay. Mm. So we actually ended up starting a new business.
And
since I didn't have any money, but I had some, you know, software that I created before, I could bring it in. So I was able to negotiate a 50-50 partnership, you know,
uh-huh. All right.
Which was actually pretty good and important at that point. But still took me about, I don't know, about 6 months. I was sleeping in my car. I was sleeping in my office. You know, you just have to get through those days.
A very humbling experience, though, wasn't it?
It's a wake-up call.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a wake-up call. Definitely, it pointed, you know, whenever this happens to someone, I firmly believe that you are you have to learn something, you know, you're just getting a lesson at this point, you know, you are not ready or prepared to what to come. So at that point when your life is coming to a crashing halt, that's a learning opportunity.
Right.
And I'm also saying this because looking back, that was the time when I picked up personal development.
Uh-huh.
Because before that, I really didn't spend much time. I've always trained myself in my own profession, you know, as a software engineer. I kept learning new stuff and kept up with the pace, but that was about it. Outside of that, I really didn't care about much. But that pointed out that, oh, you have a bunch of, you know, blind spots, things that you don't even know. So I started doing personal development, started learning about more about business. I started actually get exposed to spirituality too, because before that I wasn't, you know, I'm coming from the social area in Hungary.
You were exposed to what?
Spirituality.
I'm spirituality. Not Say that again.
Spirituality.
So spirituality. Got it. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All
right. My accent sometimes can come across the
other. Well, my ears sometimes too. Anyway.
Because back then in Hungary, that was the socialist era, right? When I grew up, religion and spirituality generally was, you know, kind of like shunned upon, like, don't do it. You know, like, this is not for you. Like, we actually was reading the Bible in English class, you know, like Hungarian class, but that was it. It's like, you know, Shakespeare, Bible, Kafka, you know, that was the curriculum. So it wasn't properly, most of the people at my generation wasn't introduced to that concept.
Okay.
So that was obviously a blind spot, personal development. And once I started down on that path, you know, things started changing. Suddenly, there was a huge learning lesson, a huge lesson for me that I had to learn is 100% responsibility, right? Take 100% responsibility for your own life.
Yep.
And first when I heard that, actually I was listening to Jim Rohn, right? You probably listened to him. He's a classic. So he said this, like, you know, you have to take 100% responsibility for your life. I said, okay, yeah, of course I take 100% responsibility. And who else, right? and then he asked the question, like, okay, do you ever find yourself complaining or whining about something, or, you know? And I was like, yeah, I do. He said, no, then you don't. Because as soon as you start, you know, feeling sorry for yourself, complaining about things, that means you're blaming an outside circumstances or an outside source for your misfortune or your whatever, right?
Yep.
So you are not taking responsibility for your life. It took me a while to understand this whole concept, like, what does it really means? Because how can I take responsibility for the government, right? But then, you know, I had to understand that it's really not that you're taking responsibility what they do or what they do to you even, but how do you respond to that in your head, in your mind? You know, you can respond that, oh, I'm sorry for myself. You know, I'm down. I'm like, bad things always happen to me. And, you know, like things like that.
Yep.
I can just say, okay, this is what's happening. This is reality. This is what is now. How can I respond to this? And that was a huge difference, you know, in my mindset before and after, because before I bought into the crisis, you know, like, yeah, market is bad. Oh man, and, you know, like, and I'm part of that negativity in a sense, right, in my head, and that lead to, you know, universe is matching your expectation. If you expect it to be bad, it will be bad. But that's just
fancy that. Yeah, exactly. Amazing how that works.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you expect it to be good, it will be good, because that's where your focus is. That's where your energy is going. That's the energy that you attract in your life. And that was my big turning point, you know, at that time. And instead of start, you know, feeling sorry for myself and wallowing in my pain, I said, okay, what's going on now? You know, what is actually happening in this moment? And in that moment, usually nothing's really happening, because no matter how bad it is, if you just stay in the moment, like right now, it's not happening. It's either happened and then you can handle that, or it's not here yet, which means it's going to happen in the future. You don't know. No one can see that. So might as well just focus on what you have to do now, and then have faith and believe in yourself that you're going to get out of this. It's not a permanent situation. By the way, that was another thing that I had to make it as my kind of like edge it into my core, that nothing is permanent. Neither the good nor the bad.
Not down here anyway. True.
No.
Very true.
So if you're in a bad situation, you can be sure it's not permanent. You can get out of it, but you have to get out of it. No one's going to pick you up and lift you up and put you in a better situation.
Right.
You have to make those changes. So that was the huge learning lesson for me, that huge lesson that I learned from this whole situation there, that no matter how bad, no matter how dire your situation look like at the moment, if you just keep doing what you feel is right, you know, listen to your intuition, listen to your heart, and then things going to turn around, and they can turn around fairly quickly.
Well, what you did that made a big difference in you and anybody that will adopt it is the mindset change.
Yes.
Right? The perspective from you, the perspective that was in you as you approached these situations, whether good, bad, or ugly, you saw them through a new lens because your mindset had changed on a more positive note, more positive venue. And with that positivity, certainly makes it a lot easier to deal with rather than the negative side. So many people are always on the negative side.
Yeah.
And as you said before, if you're always negative, don't be surprised if that's what you get.
So of course,
that change in your thinking and your outlook was a turning point, sounds to me like, for you.
It is. And then after that, it started compounding, you know, like more and more things added to it.
Uh-huh.
Also, Jim Rohn mentioned that, you know, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Uh-huh.
So, and I realized eventually that, the five people that I spend the most time with is kind of like me, you know, like, and if this is not who I want to be, then I have to kind of move on, right? Because eventually, you know, that at that time, I was that person also, you know, I take part of the pity party, you know, like life sucks. Yeah, mine too, you know. Oh, can you imagine? Absolute nonsense. This is like craziest thing that people can do. But at the time, I didn't know any better, so I did that. But once I realized this, I said, okay, no more small talk. I don't care about the game yesterday. I don't care about anything else. Let's focus on things that's important, that makes a
right.
change in my life or somebody else's life. You know, let's talk about something that adds to your life instead of just, you know, wasting time.
Right. Did you find yourself then being on the search for some new friends, some new associates, or just plain
yes.
friends?
Yes, but it wasn't like, you know, I was going out and start, you know, interviewing people. Can you be my friend? Because I'm changing.
You weren't that desperate, okay?
Wasn't that desperate? You know, walking up to people on the street. Do you want to be my friend?
No. Yeah. Will you be my? That's like Mr. Rogers. Will you be my neighbor? Will you be my friend? My
yeah.
daughter, when she was real young, she saw that, heard that question, and she said, "No, me won't." She didn't want to be the friend of Mr. Rogers. But anyway, so you just met some new people along the way then.
Yeah. So what happened is that there's a few things. If anybody start on this kind of journey, like, you know, I'm changing, there's a few things. You know, I mean, Grant is also talking about, if you want something new, you have to give up something old, right?
Uh-huh.
The existing, right? So if I wanted to be something new as a person, I had to give up my old self.
Right.
That's sometimes not as easy as
no.
you say, you know, but that's what you had to do. That's what I had to do.
Yeah.
And what when I started doing that, so I was listening to a lot of not motivational stuff, but more like educational stuff, like the Jim Rohns, the Brian Tracy, you know, and all of these thought leaders at the time, and picked up a lot of their, so they became my friends.
Okay.
At that point, it was a very one-sided, you know, communication. They always, I couldn't really respond back, but it was great because they were talking about things that helped me to get ahead, get my life back on track, first of all, and then just keep growing, right? And then once you have a different mindset, once your energy changes, because that changes your energy, you know, how people perceive you also, then you attract other people into your life.
Yep.
You go to events and you meet with different kind of people, not your old friends. And I'm not saying the old friends are bad or anything like that. It's just I found that after a time, it's hard to talk to them. Whenever we started talking the old ways, right, I got annoyed. Like, you know what, I really, oh, I gotta go. And sometimes people even say that you changed. Well, yeah.
Thank God.
That was the whole point.
Yeah, man. Please.
Yeah, of course. And many of them don't like it because sometimes you are a mirror to their deficiencies. Like if they see you were the same, right? And then you change, you become better, you know, like improve yourself. And then they don't. Then they see it in you what they're missing.
Yeah.
And that hurts. Like, you know, like they can feel a way that like, hey, they didn't put the effort into to do what you do, and either they pull you back down or they just turn away.
Right.
If you let them to pull you back down. But
right.
that's what usually happens. Yeah. And it happened to me.
They're gonna react in one of two ways. They're either gonna say, how can I get what you got?
Yeah.
Or shun you and say, man, this guy is changing. I can't handle it, you know, and then kind of divorce you maybe of the relationship with them. And you can't help that.
Right.
Because you're becoming a new person in the whole process. Yeah. And if they're going to move on with you, great. If they're not, sayonara. I mean, that's the way it is. Sad, but true.
That's true. And I was always talking about this. So this wasn't like, you know, I did it in secret or anything like that. Like I talked about what I'm doing, right? And they had the opportunity to come with me.
Right.
They could have said that, hey, you know, what you're listening, send it to me. Yeah, of course. You know, I would have done that. And I did even without asking, just trying to kind of inspire them to move forward or come with me, right? But if they're not ready, they're not ready.
That's right.
You know, the saying that you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make it drink.
Correct.
So that's really what's happening. At the time, there's another lesson in that I had to learn, let go.
Yep.
You can't hold on to things. You can't be attached to things. You have to be able to let go and let go fast. And that can be anything. That can be your house that you own right now, love it dearly. And if you lost it, let it go.
Right.
Start over. You can rebuild your life 20 times over. You can go from broke to have money in a year or two. It's now these days, especially with the internet and the social media, it's significantly easier than it was before. It's still a lot of work. That's still, you know, something that people have to understand, that all of these, you know, get rich quick schemes are still just a scheme. It's not going to work. And even if you get lucky with something and you make money quickly, if you don't really know how to sustain and how to make money consistently and reliably that you can actually scale, then people fall back to the fear of losing it. Oh, I made $5 million, but I don't know how to make another five, so I'm trying to preserve this.
Right?
So as soon as they go into that preserving mode, it's just not going to work anymore. That's against nature. You know, in nature, you're either growing or you're dying.
Yep.
And as soon as you start preserving, you die. And that money is going to be gone for sure. There is no way that you can preserve that money.
Right.
No matter what you do.
Yeah, some miserable people are those who have won big in the lottery and they didn't know how to handle it. They went crazy. They went berserk. They didn't know how to invest it to build more of a future. And so a lot of them, pretty soon down the road, they're as broker as they were when they won the lottery.
Exactly. Sad deal. That's really comes down to money mindset.
Yep.
We all have, I had, and I probably still have, some mindset about money and being wealthy and rich that's incorrect. Mm. But we grew up with it. You know, like Grant is talking about it a lot, that, you know, like, what is it? Penny saved, a penny earned, and money doesn't grow on trees and things like that. These are old folktales in a sense, which may have been something that served people, you know, 100, 200, 500, 1,000 years ago. But today and today's society, these are false beliefs. And false beliefs around money and wealth cause people to do the wrong thing. Hence, they're never going to get the money. They have the wrong energy about the money. Money is energy. Energy, everything is energy. But if you have the energy of scarcity because you're afraid to lose things, because you afraid to spend your money on things because you think that that's expensive, like I would never buy that. Yes, you're right, you would never buy that. You just said it, right?
Says
that I would never buy a Rolls Royce. It's $500,000. You can't even fathom how to get that to that amount of money. And because if you keep saying it, that you're right. You never, your life is going to be maintained at the level where you are, because that's what your comfort zone is. You may not like it, but still it's your comfort zone.
Comfort zone, right? That's right. And that this thing of success, obviously the mindset has to change. And one of those factors of the mindset change has to be willing to step out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
Or you're not gonna advance, you're not gonna develop, right?
Exactly.
Right?
And then that's when we give things up. Like I give up that comfort zone. I give up that feeling of being just, you know, okay. And because it's scary, you know, like when you leave that safe area that you're comfortable with, it may not be good. And that's a misconception. Comfort zone is not where you feel comfortable necessarily in terms of what you want. Like, you know, you may want more money, but you're never going to get there because your comfort zone is 9 to 5 and I hate my job. That can be a comfort zone. Even abusive relationship can be for someone a comfort zone. That's why many women don't leave an abusive husband. It's a comfort zone. It's not good, but it's still a comfort zone.
It's just something that a person is used to, whether they like it or not. They're just used to it, and they've learned to live with it, sad as it may be.
Yes, and they believe that the alternative to that is worse. Right? They don't know, but that's what they believe. The other part of this is fear. Like fear is a big, big part. Like example, higher middle class, right? They have a cushy job. They may earn $150,000, $200,000 a year. They have the car. They have the nice house, the wife and the kids and everything. Kids going to maybe a good school or something. But they hate their job. You know, how many lawyers, doctors, and engineers and whatnot that actually hate their job, but they never quit, because once they quit, the alternative is that now I don't have that income. I may lose my house.
Right.
My wife may divorce me. My kids may hate me. You know, right?
Yeah.
So fear stops a lot of people to make that change that otherwise your soul, your inner being tells you to do. Follow your heart. You know, you hear that. But it's actually rare when people do that, because it's always scary.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people, as they advance in, say, their career and acquire raises and raises and raises, they can end up just as broke as they were before.
Yeah.
Maybe on a higher level, because they took all these raises of income and bought a nicer car, a bigger house, a boat, whatever. And so, but the bottom line is, at the end of the month, they still don't have anything left over, because they're spending it all. We've been there. The Thomas family has been there many years ago, made a gob of money, spent it on lifestyle, didn't think about investing it, you know, and so have paid the price for that, you know. That's why at 75, I'm still busy doing this, but I love it. And I'm still, because I'm an entrepreneur at heart like yourself, I am still, would still be involved in the business world because I love it. Business makes the world go around, you know. I have really taken your thoughts here on mindset. You've talked really a lot about mindset and attitude, and that obviously is so important for anybody looking to accomplish something different with their lives, wanting to go someplace new, starting with the mindset. And part of that then is, of course, being willing to change, willing to step out. So where is Attila today? Mm-hmm. Where you've talked about your journey and so on, and what has happened in your mind and so on. Where are you today? What are you into today that challenging you in life and business?
Yeah, I still have the software company. It's doing great. We actually in the process of creating two new products that will, we believe, take us to the next level, you know. So that's still going on, and that's my main business. And the business coaching, I started in about 2 months ago because I had this, I don't know, it's kind of like a personality that I want to bring people with me. It's kind of like, come guys, let's do this. Like, I want to help you. Like, you need help with this. I know that. I'll help you with that, right? So originally, I hold myself back to do this because I was the software engineer. That's why I was talking about, like, I kind of lost my fire in a sense, but fire in a way also that I became what now they call introvert, right? Because I was in that position in the business. I was... The back end guy, like I'm the software guy, I'm creating the systems. My business partner is the sales, the front end, right?
Okay,
so he is
right.
the one who's exposed to the customers and, you know, all of those things. I was going along with him in certain situations when he needed technical sales in a sense,
sure, right?
But I didn't have to do the cold calling and, you know, establishing relationships and all that. So I became that introvert type of, and I again, mindset, right? I repeated it. I believed it. I became one.
Yeah, right.
Until I realized that that's just a mask I put on. That's on me. I had to take that off and say, okay. And that's when this whole 10X coaching came along, and I said, I'm going to do this. And I'm kind of like you in this sense, because I said that, yes, I could attach this to my business, but I didn't want to purposely. I want to start this from zero, no followings, no people around me, nothing. And that's how I wanted to start this, because I also wanted to show it to myself and prove it to myself that that I can do this. This is not rocket science. This is nothing that me or anybody else couldn't do. And that's a better approach for me, in my mind, at least, going forward. When you talk to your own, you know, clients, customers, people who want to learn from you, because you can tell them that, hey, I started this from zero. Yes, I had other businesses. That's great, because I learned a lot and I can teach you all that too. But I wanted to show that starting a new business from zero this day and age, it still can be done. And it doesn't matter how competitive the business is. Coaching business is relatively competitive. There are so many people call themselves coaches out there. That sometimes if you look at their things, it may not be something that I want to learn, but they're still teaching it, you know, and other people buying it, depend, you know, where you are. So everybody has an audience, I guess. But the point is that showing to people that, hey, I've been through that journey multiple times now. This is why I can teach this to you. Now, outside of that, obviously, we have the material from Grant and the 10X, which is already a tried and true material that hundreds of thousands of people using it every day. So That's a crutch for me. That helps.
Well, that is, I think that is such a significant factor in us developing success in our own lives and our own businesses, because through Grant Cardone and this 10X business coaching system that we've been able to tap into, obviously, you know, that there's not that many of us around. It's a very limited licensee thing at this point, although they're on the grow. But my point is a system for success. That's one of the keys to the success of McDonald's, for example, is they created a system, and those people, the franchisees that signed on with them, they adopted that system. And there they went. And it was like a guaranteed success because we're following a proven system that's going to help us get down the road in the best way and have the best level of success and satisfaction. So for the training, the sales training, for one thing, is part of every business, as you know. Everybody is a salesperson one way or another, whether they call themselves a professional salesperson or not. But then also the coaching, where you get to talk to people on a one-on-one or a one-on-many basis and literally get to where the rubber meets the road, right? And say, these are principles of success. You follow these and you too will be successful, right?
Yes.
It's really simple.
It is. A lot of time people, and again, I mean, talking about lessons, right? I had to learn to put my ego aside. Because
I'm going to do it my way. Well,
exactly.
How's that been working for you so far, right?
Yeah, it's like many, many times that, especially as you said, like entrepreneurs, like we have this thing. I can do it. I can do it better. I can do it better. I can take a perfect system and make it even more perfect. And gosh, you know, like when you have a perfect system, you can't make it perfect. You break it, and that's what happens. We think we do better. We think we know better. Now that's just one way you want to break the system. The other way is that we fear of certain things that had to be done. That's part of the system. I skip that test, that step, you know, like that's not that important. I do the rest. And it's just not how it works. Like, as you said, following it and coaching particularly is something that helps you with that. I mentioned that I was listening to Jim Rohn and all of those. They were my coach. They didn't coach me personally. I didn't get on a call with them or anything, which now people have actually, an advantage to do that. But just listening to their material over and over and over and over, I was being coached, you know, and I learned things that otherwise, I don't know how many years would have taken due to trial and error. it's an accelerator process when you do any type of coaching or learning or self-improvement and listen to people who actually have proven success.
Right. Very important. Very important. Right. If you want to be successful, plug in and follow those who have been successful.
Yeah.
And learn everything you can from those individuals and apply that information to your own life, to your own business. And sooner or later, you're going to reach those levels of success as well. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. It's not really rocket science. It's here we are back to the word mindset. Perseverance, commitment, and follow through, not giving up. I heard years ago there's two rules for success. Number one is you get started. Number two, you don't quit.
Yeah. As I would add one more thing to that, which I had to also improve mine, be consistent.
Yes.
Because if you start, if you don't give up, but you're not consistent, it's going to take you significantly longer to achieve the same result than if you do it consistently.
Good point. Good point. So here you are in this business, a new enterprise for you. It sounds like it's been maybe a couple of months or so that you've been involved in this licensee program. What advice would you give to an individual, young person particularly, maybe that's just kind of starting out and maybe has been in the 9 to 5, maybe they've got a college degree in something, but they're working in a whole different field that they didn't even go to college for because they can't find a job in their field. They're frustrated, driving them nuts because of that 9 to 5 and something that's not satisfying. I had a fella tell me 50 years ago, he said, you know, Russ, there's a lot of ways to go crazy, and one of them is to be in a job that you don't like. Well, the job that I had at the time, I couldn't stand, and I quit probably a month or so later because I knew I'd get out of this mess. And so people that are in that place, what advice would you have to share with those people that are maybe locked in and are looking for something better? Go for it.
I would say that I think for me and for others too that I spoke with, the most important and the biggest impact on your life is if you invest in yourself.
Invest in yourself.
And take whatever money you have, save whatever money you have, and buy these programs. And I'm not just talking about our programs, any programs. Go out there and learn from anybody who you can learn from. Buy books. You know, if you don't have $1,000 for a program, buy books. $10, $15.
You
know, read and educate yourself, because there are so many things out there that people just don't know. I didn't know. Once you have a better overview of this information, once you're actually aware of certain things, you'll see doors will start opening. When I see situations, and I met with people who were like, I hate my job, I quit my job, and then they eventually ended up in a worse situation than before. And they had to go back to a job that was worse than the previous job they quit from, because nothing else changed. The only thing changed that they quit their job, right?
They hadn't changed, right?
They hadn't changed, right?
Yeah.
So that's the problem there. If you just give up on this, I quit my job, that's not going to help. What helps is that you start changing. Once you're changing, you'll see new opportunities, new doors open. You actually start seeing opportunities that you didn't see before. You may be able to start a little side business somewhere. You can start making a little more money from that, right? You don't give up your job until you have something to fall back on. But that only comes with self-improvement. I'll give you an example. Just with this 10X coaching, it's a very recent thing. Again, mindset change. This whole mindset regarding sales and people like me who used to say, like, I'm not a salesperson, you know, like,
right.
I don't do that.
So that's a lie. Changed,
right. When I changed that mindset and I realized that, you know, everybody's in sales, practically selling your friends, your wife, your kids, and any ideas that you want. I want to go to this movie. I want to eat this tonight. That's a sales job, you know. You're selling your whole, the people around you to agree with you. So once I opened, and that's kind of like, again, it's changed your mindset. It's changed how you view your work. Opportunities will come. I went to the bank, opening a bank account for this business. Right? So I went to the bank. I sit down. Eventually, the manager came out because there was a woman before, but she, interesting story that she said, okay, can I help you? I said, yes. And what do you need? So I said, I want to open a business checking account. And then his colleague walked in and she says, oh, my colleague's just back. I have to go for lunch. I said, what?
What?
We just started, you know, just please sit down. Somebody's going to help you. I said, this is absolutely crazy. I almost walked out of the bank. But I said, since I'm here, okay, let's just wait. So the manager came out and says, let me help you. I said, okay, great. So I sit down. So we started talking, opening the account. And he asked me, like, okay, so what is this business going to do? I said, this is a business, coaching business. I said, I'm a 10X business, certified 10X business coach, Grant Cardone licensee. I said, oh, Grant Cardone. I said, yeah, do you know him? No, I heard of him. I said, what do you hear about it? So again, I just started a discussion, which before, I never have done that.
That's fun, wasn't it? Wasn't that fun?
Yeah. And then it led to, I'm interested. So I said, okay. So I went back to the bank. We talked. I had a 2-hour meeting with this guy afterwards to talk about what their needs. you know? So now I'm proposing a program for the bank to do coaching.
Great.
So again, opportunities will come if you're ready for them. But how do you get ready for them? If you train your mind, you train yourself, you change yourself. Whoever you are in the moment, if you're unhappy with that situation, that will not change unless you change.
And when that opportunity comes, to be ready to act.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That happened to me after that multiple times. I went to a jewelry store, pick up a ring that my wife left there to cleaning and fixing something, right? Uh-huh. And there was a guy, I walked in my head and he said, oh, 10X. I said, yeah, do you know about it? Yeah, Grant Cardone and apartments. I said, yes, also business coaching. So again, the same thing, started a conversation. I talked with the guy in the jewelry store over half an hour. And he's interested.
Isn't that cool? You just showed up, took advantage of the situation.
Yeah. So your question, if you are in any position right now that you don't like your job, you don't like how much money you make, your situation, just your living conditions or anything like that, the only time that really and significantly and on a long term, on a long run, will change if you change. And the only way you can change, if you educate yourself, you invest in yourself.
Yep, exactly. So somebody is watching on our Roku channel or Amazon Fire channel, or someone is listening on one of our several podcast channels, and they liked what they saw, they liked what they heard from Attila. How can they contact you?
I have a website. It's a landing page where they can actually download the book, free book, and also schedule a phone call with me. It's a 15 minutes strategy call.
Okay.
I find out about, you know, how can we work together? Are we a good fit?
Okay. What is the name? What is the book that you're offering?
It's
the name of the book.
Yeah, it's a 20 closing rules. You know, like I forgot the name. Hold on.
So it's a sales-related book.
It's a sales-related book.
To help an individual close more sales, sounds like. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right. 20 rules for closing. All right. All right. And the website then?
It's onepivotpoint.com. It's www. One is the word spelled out, O-N-E.
Uh-huh.
Pivotpoint.com. Onepivotpoint.com.
One what point?
Pivot. P-I-V-O-T. Pivot.
Pivot.
Yes.
Pivot.
One pivot point.
One pivot
point.
.com.
Yes.
All right. Or your phone number? They want to call you directly?
Yes. It's 347-260-5000.
And that is, you're down in Miami, right?
Yes. That's a number from New York, but it's myself.
Yeah, right. People are so mobile these days, they'll get a phone number and they'll keep it forever, regardless of where we live, you know, so it doesn't matter. Well, anyway, hey, it's been great chatting with you. Getting to know you better has been wonderful. And I love your ideas about the mindset change, because really, as we know, it all starts there. Folks, tune into your mind. What are you thinking? What are you saying? What you think about, you're going to end up talking about. And what you talk about, you're going to end up acting out. So if you want to change your actions, first change your mind, and then your speech and your actions will change. So, folks, been great. Attila, it's been great having you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We appreciate the time together, and folks, that hopefully that you've enjoyed it as well, gotten something out of this conversation. And as I said, you need something from Attila, give him a call.
OnePivotPoint.com
or the phone number. All right. So until next time, from Daytona Beach, we're going to bid you goodbye until then. All right. So
all right, thank you. Take care.
And we'll talk to you next time on Money Talks. We'll talk more about money and how to make more of it. Okay. So over and out. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy.com. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.